If it's boring, they've got it. If it matters, we've got it. Kello, News Talk 1320, 107.9.
You are entering the business zone of Kello News Talk 1320, 107.9 FM. It's Unique Real Estate on Sioux Falls Radio, the only show of its kind in the area. This is It's Your Business. Now here's your conductor, the maestro, and your host for the show, Bill Zortman.
I'm Bill Zortman, and welcome to It's Your Business. It's show number 587. That's 587 in our original It's Your Business series. This morning, there it is. He found the symbol. The symbol was out on an icy road this morning as well. This morning, it's the affordable health care topic, and this is our 12th show in the series. We did shows all through October and then staggered the discussions in November, December, and January. There have been some changes since our last show on January 29th. We'll explore those today. Why is March 31st an important date? Changes for businesses 50 to 100 employees. Health and Human Services is pushing to get people signed up and are curious about what and how the community health center in-person assisters, navigators are scoring, how they're doing with the public. We've been blessed to have those involved with the key players in the affordable health care discussion. Deb Muller of Vera Health Plan, she is front and center this morning.
Good morning.
And you slid in, I understand?
I did. I slid through several intersections, so my apologies to other drivers in Sioux Falls this morning.
But we haven't heard of any accidents through Jack Taylor, so I think we're okay.
Good.
Lisa Carlson will be here. She may still be sliding out there. We haven't heard any sirens for Lisa, but she's with the Sanford Health Plans. Linda Ross, Community Healthcare Associations of the Dakotas, and Abby Vanderwerf, Holt McDowell, she handles the businesses. She'll be joining us just a little bit later in the hour, and we had a chance to visit with her. She is on a road trip today in Texas. I was kind of bemoaning, much like we did last time, that Linda Ross was on the road in Florida, and it was 70 degrees. When she arrived in Texas, it was 29 degrees. Not a big improvement. Deb, you're here early. We've kind of put the headlines out there. And you guys have also made some changes, which we were talking about just before the start of the show. You want to kind of share what you've done to take it to the people?
Well, we are starting this, what I call the sprint piece of the marathon that will get us to March 31st, which you mentioned in your opening, is a key date because in the individual marketplace, March 31st is the last day when people can sign up for health insurance through what is called an open enrollment period. If you do not have health insurance in place by March 31st, you will then have to wait until the next open enrollment period, which won't happen until November of 2014 for a January 1st, 2015 date. The only way you can get around that particular requirement is if you have what's called a special enrollment period, or if you get married, get divorced, have a baby, et cetera, would be the only way that you could get access or through a loss of employer coverage through the course of the spring, fall, and summer months. What we've decided to do as part of our sprint is we are conducting a series of open houses statewide, actually. We're in partnership with our agents to hold evening and Saturday-based open houses. And we are also, so people can just walk in to any of our locations. For instance, here in Sioux Falls, we're at 3816 South Elmwood. And we are encouraging individuals who are just driving by, maybe on their way to the mall on 49th Street, once they see that big old Avera Health Plans sign from 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. We're staffed with agents. Turn on in. If you know what your income was last year, your W-2 income, and you know your Social Security numbers, we'll work with you right on the spot to get health insurance. So our mission right now is to get as many folks access and onto coverage as possible so that they don't have to pay any penalties coming forward in 2014.
Talking with Deb Muller, the Avera Health Plans, you've had some pretty good numbers. Before you give us the number, what were you hoping to have?
You know, this was a real a black box that we were looking into. If you put us back a year from today, go back to February of 2013 and say, okay, what can you project for the folks who are going to be coming in the individual market now that it's guarantee issue? We knew a couple of facts. We knew that 110,000 people within the state of South Dakota were without health insurance. We knew that 52,000 of them would probably not be eligible for purchasing health insurance in the open market because they would go to federal poverty level of being from 0 to 138%. Those folks would be covered under the Medicaid expansion, and they, by design, from 0 to 100% could not get into the health insurance marketplace. The number that were 100% and above from the federal, from the FPL level, that number was roughly 52,000 people. So we start with 52,000 folks within the state who don't have access but could purchase on the exchange. We were expecting, hopefully 20 to 25,000 of those folks initially may purchase insurance. We really didn't know who they'd purchase insurance from. When we had a line of sight on our pricing and our product designs, our copay structures and some free generic drugs, et cetera, and the way that we had focused our coverage, we thought perhaps we should be able to attain maybe somewhere between 5 and 10,000 folks within the marketplace. And when transitional policy relief was offered back in November, December of 2013 by President Obama, we knew that changed everything because people that had a policy that was in place as of October 1st, 2013 could keep that policy for another year. So we really then again said, okay, so what is that going to impact for numbers? And we said probably half, half the folks are going to wind up staying with where they're at currently. And now I would suggest our numbers are telling us that we're getting very close to achieving where we thought we were going to be at as of March 31st. Our numbers so far to date are running about 70% of the market share in the individual exchange platform, and we're just under 5,000 members, and that was where we were hoping to be at March 31st.
How confused is the public?
The public is confused about things like deductibles, co-pays, et cetera. Do I have a penalty? Don't I have a penalty? Did this announcement that happened and hit the news yesterday about employer shared responsibility, does that impact me as an individual purchaser of health insurance? So yes, I still think there's a lot of confusion within the industry. I was with industry officials throughout the U.S. last week in Phoenix, Arizona. And one of the things that they brought out was a wonderful statement. I love this principle, the KISS principle. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. And I think that's really what we all have to go back to now as we head to March 31st. We're talking about no other dates. We're just talking about March 31st. Let's get you covered by March 31st. Let's help you walk through the choices that are available to you in the marketplace. Let's talk about what kind of access you have to tax credits. The number one message that is being called out in research that people are missing is the fact that there's help for paying your premiums. Completely lost. I took just a quick exercise for myself last night, and this scenario happens pretty often. Two adults, 28 years old, a mom, or not really a mom, but two kids. Let's talk about one's a husband and wife scenario. The husband works retail, doesn't have access to health insurance. The wife is in college. She's going for a master's in social work. Neither one of them have access to their parents' plans. They make $24,000 annually. The cost of their insurance here in Sioux Falls for a program that's going to offer them $25 office copay, free generic drugs, free preventive services, free well woman exams annually, free flu shots. That cost for them, once you factor in their tax credit, is $85 a month, making it fairly affordable. I just purchased a car and looked at shopping my car insurance. My car insurance is roughly $40 a month, and I don't use that at all. And this is something that I can use. So at $85 a month, two kids making $24,000 a year, possibly affordable for them. They need to check it out.
Demographics. We talked about that on the January 29th show. And yours with Sanford were a little different.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is, and have they changed since January 29th?
I think that they're going to be in a constant state of change because we currently we're seeing 42 average age for Avera health plans, 52 nationally. We're seeing a larger number of younger people coming onto the plan. We are seeing even more younger folks coming onto the plan as we get to February, March, April effective dates. We're seeing a drop of about 2 years of age in the average for every single month that goes forward. My theory, people that needed health insurance, that knew health insurance was important for them, perhaps they had pre-existing conditions that they didn't have coverage for before, those folks came on very early in January 1st, which tended to lift the age, average age. And now what we're doing is we're seeing a lot of folks who didn't get insurance but do know that that penalty is coming or simply want to get the coverage at the very end. They're putting it off, putting it off, putting it off. Those folks are now coming to the table and they're younger. They tend to be younger and they tend to be healthier. They just need access now.
So the message from Avera is you're now coming to them with open houses.
Mm-hmm.
You're working out a way that people can feel more comfortable about getting their questions answered.
Yes.
And those businesses now that are up to 50 employees are looking around saying, will there be another change? Do you think we've pretty much hit the end of the line as far as the businesses are concerned? You know, the 50 to 100 was the most recent this week.
Right. Those employers who are small businesses and have less than 50 workers were always exempt from that pay or play penalty. That's the employer responsibility provisions. 96% of the workforce in the U.S. is with employers that were 50 employees or less. So those folks never had to worry as in a small employer group about the pay or play penalty. But yesterday, there was an announcement from the administration and final rules that were promulgated that said that for employers that had 50 or more employees, the rules were, in fact, going to change. For employers that were from 50 to 100 employees, those folks are going to get a pass from having to come into compliance with the pay or play penalties until 2016 now. So for 50 to 100 employees, they now don't have to come into compliance with offering health insurance that's affordable and meets minimum essential coverage until 2016. They also changed some of the more technical details for employers that have employees over the number of 100 employees. The pay or play penalty is still in place for those folks for 2015, but before these final rules were put forward, it said that employers had to provide 95% of their workforce, full-time workforce, with coverage in 2015. They backed that ratio down to 70% of the workforce. So there's a lot changing in that large group and that large employer arena of 100 employees or more. So I would say that that market is not settling down. But I do see some positive impacts for employers who are quite concerned about the pay or play mandate, especially those that are in that 50 to 100 employee position.
Deb Muller from Avera. We've got some other players that we need to talk to about affordable care. We'll check in with that as our It's Your Business affordable. Linda Ross is the Chief Executive Officer of the Community Healthcare Association of the Dakotas. She joins us by phone today. Linda, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Your headline to us, we're getting a push from Health and Human Services to get people signed up as we're getting closer to the March 31st deadline. And they seem to be interested as well as to what and how the Community Health Center in-person assisters, navigators are doing. That's kind of a long question, but can you fill us in?
Absolutely. Because we have limited time, we're getting down to the wire. They are very concerned and wanting the health centers and those people who are doing this work to get people enrolled. So there is a big push for outreach, and so we're seeing increased community events and opportunities for the health center staff to meet with people to try to get the word out. So, and there are more people who are interested and trying to get information, so we're definitely seeing an increase from that perspective. effective too.
Community meetings, are there some in this area?
There's a lot of things happening within the smaller communities, like farm shows. Though there's been a lot of representation to those type of things. There's things happening at the library and other types of community places. We have on our website all of the events that we know about listed in our calendar, so people can go take a look at that and find the place that they are concerned about and see what's going on.
Let me ask you this, because the state legislature in South Dakota took up, and it didn't pass, but it was questioning the people that are the assisters, the navigators. Are they meeting the muster that you want them to meet?
Yeah, I think so, because, you know, the issue with the state legislature is that, at least in my belief, is that these people, whether they are navigators or community health center, certified application counselors, whatever, are selling insurance. And that is not the case. They are not selling insurance. They are assisting people through the process, and they're not advocating for one plan versus another. So they understand their role, and they are doing that. They're trying to help people navigate that system, be able to get enrolled and get the product that is best for them.
Hi, Linda, it's Deb. Say, one thing, too, that I like to point out is that we do not, as insurance carriers, compensate in any way, shape, or form any of the navigators or community assisters that are out there. Those navigators and community assisters need to be completely neutral, and we're very conscious of that as carriers and issuers when we are working with them in terms of providing information to them. I have a question for you, Linda. Have you noticed kind of a change in receptiveness in rural South Dakota in particular? I know you had mentioned back in October, I don't think you were here in person, but had fielded some phone commentary from you, that you were getting a lot of kickback from folks locally in being part of organizational educational sessions. Has that somewhat tempered over time?
You know what? It actually has, which is really great. We are hearing from the rural communities that people are receptive, and they do want to find out more. They also understand, you know, I think there's been, you know, there's certainly some misconceptions. And for some folks, I think the fact that creating an account online does not mean that they have to purchase something. And once they find that out, they seem to be a little bit more relaxed because there's some thought that if I do that and go through that process, I have to do X, Y, and Z. You know, there's also the, we heard yesterday of a couple that the gentleman did not want to give his Social Security number. And his wife said to me, the government gave you your Social Security number. Why don't you just want to give it back to them? So, you know, I think there is a changing, because there's been a lot more positive information. People are getting covered. They are getting their cards, and they are utilizing services. And that's been real positive, and folks are starting to hear that. So there is a shift.
Let me ask you this, and you and I talked about it on the last show. Jesus Ramirez, who is in the process of helping set up a Hispanic chamber, as well as has a newspaper in town, reports Hispanics are having trouble understanding what to do. There's some language issues. Can Jesus call and visit with you at Chad or some of your people, or can you guys get with him?
We can do both of those things, absolutely. You know, he should know, and everybody should know, that our health centers are equipped to help people of, you know, with whatever language barriers they have access to translation services, and that is part of their charter. So from a, from a Spanish standpoint, we certainly can have interpreters or can get interpreters. Healthcare.gov, which is the place that people go for the information about the marketplace, if you go to the individuals and families, you click that up at the top, it'll take you to a page, and then down on the bottom, there's a whole bunch of languages, and you just click Spanish, and then all of the information is in Spanish. So if people want to look at it online before they want to talk to somebody, they can look at it in Spanish. So we can do whatever we can, however we can help Jesus, we're happy to do it.
All right, and if people need to get some information, whether it be a language diversity or regardless of what it is in the community, how do they reach you at CHAD?
They could call us at 605-357-1515, or they can go to our website, which is www.communityhealthcare.net.
Well, Linda, we're going to bring you back in just a few minutes. We need to hear from our traveling business lady, Abby, and we'll do that after a break. We'll check more on the affordable health care, all a part of your It's Your Business show on this Wednesday. Abby Vanderwerf from Holt McDowell has helped us to put this show in place, and she has been all over the map. In fact, she is today. She's on the road in Texas visiting with a business client for Holt McDowell. When she arrived in Texas late yesterday afternoon, she did talk to me about the big change for businesses 50 to 100 employees.
Yeah, so really I think you need to take a look at that and go, it's 50 to 100 full-time equivalents. So what we've been saying all along is don't count how many employees you have, count how many full-time equivalents you have. Really what you guys are getting is an extra year to come into compliance. So you're going to be looking at first plan year starting in 2016. So it gives you some time, and possibly things could change again, to get ready to come in compliance with the employer shared responsibility mandate.
Now, you have been meeting with a lot of businesses. You know, I kept talking like it was every week, but you told me it was like every month, every other month. How many of these were actually in this 50 to 100 full-time employees?
You know, we have quite a few employers that are going to fall in this boat. So I think this is welcome for them, and yet puts them back in a little bit of limbo because they've planned strategically for 2014. Now they've planned strategically, starting to plan for 2015. And now they got to be looking out to 2016. And there's some little caveats to take advantage of that transitional relief that we'll still need to review, but they kind of need to be cognizant of what their plan design is right now, what they're offering, what they contribute towards the premiums, so that they can make sure they're on the straight and narrow for 2016.
Is there relief with these companies, the 50 to 100, or is there like, oh, we're having to put it off again?
I think it's kind of how we felt when the rules got delayed the first time. We didn't know whether to laugh or cry, but I think it is relief, certainly, because it is just delaying, and hopefully maybe it'll never come to fruition. We can always hope that, but certainly it does give them more time to prepare and to really get a comfortable base of where they're at in regards to employer size.
Now, we have had lots of deadlines. The next deadline coming up is March 31st. Are people getting more comfortable? Are businesses more comfortable? Or are they like, this isn't ever going to happen?
You know, I think from the March 31st deadline standpoint, I think employers are getting more comfortable with what that means to them and what it means to their employees. There's lots of pieces that people think maybe they never will happen. I mean, we have to go through some more elections and things like that that could totally change the game. And there are some pieces that we hope never happen. But now we have final employer shared responsibility rules. So frankly, I think we're moving ahead. And this is going to happen in some way, shape, or form. It might be modified, but right now we have to go into 2015 with our eyes wide open.
All right. I would guess that there are those people that are in a company that's 50 to 100 employees, full-time employees, as you said, who are now saying, I wonder if I ought to be shopping on an exchange someplace because I don't know where this is going.
Well, I mean, what I would caution those employers is don't be dropping your coverage anytime soon because, like I said, there's little niches built into that law, which obviously I haven't had time to read all 227 pages, but there's some things built in there about what your plan design is today and whether or not you can take advantage of that relief if you make different plan design changes, i.e., did you drop coverage just because now you don't have to have it? Well, then you might be looking at the fact that you still might have a penalty because they didn't issue this as a relief for you to drop coverage. They issued it as a relief for you to get into compliance and to prepare for 2016.
All right. If this change hadn't come about this week, what would you be saying about the business side of it in this show?
We were anxiously awaiting for these guidelines, and so I would have said we're sitting tight, but we're preparing for 2015 as if everyone needs to be in compliance on 1/1/2015. And that's the other welcome news that we now have, is that employers will have transitional release again for their planned year starting in 2015. Again, a couple caveats on that, but certainly something that is very, very welcome for people with non-calendar year plans.
Abby, thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Abby Vanderwerf, she was arriving in Dallas yesterday talking insurance with a client in Texas. Deb, as you heard her talk about that, you were kind of curious as to what she would say. Anything surprise you?
No, I was just holding a bet out as I was walking in the door today as to whether or not she had a chance to read all 270-some pages of that reg that came out yesterday afternoon. I know I haven't, but she had a little bit of playing time, so I was wondering, and sure enough, hasn't delved into it all the way yet, but there's a lot in there, let me tell you, a lot of details.
You know, as we talked about that, and Linda, are you still on the line with us?
I am.
The businesses are an important part of this, and basically, millennials we want to talk about, but let's talk, too, about where the industry is headed, consumerism, what it means, retail experience, even if you're in a group plan a little bit. We'll throw that jump ball up. Deb, do you want to start us?
You know, I will, because I just came back from Phoenix, and there's an Association of Health Insurance Plans, and they invite key leaders throughout the U.S. to talk about where health insurance and healthcare delivery is headed over the next 3, 5, and 10 years. And the theme for this year's conference, which will be built upon next year as well, is the consumer experience, and in particular, the retail nature of health insurance going forward, and why individual consumers, even though they're in a group plan, will become more and more and more in control of their health insurance dollars. Because things like defined contribution programs, where your employer will set aside a specific dollar amount for every employee, and the employee will go onto a website, it is a private website, and they will choose the plan that best fits that particular employee's needs. So some employees might want coverage that has a low deductible. Others want coverage that has a high deductible, very similar to healthcare.gov, but it's run by their employer. And the decision is really up to each individual employee as to the type of product that they want to purchase. And if they have dollars left over from the employer providing them with premium coverage, they could perhaps purchase additional vision coverage, disability coverage. Some, we're even talking about nationally pet insurance coverage for those folks who enjoy watching the Westminster Dog Show like my family does. The point is that there's a lot more choices that are going to be out there for the individual consumer, even within a group purchasing experience, which requires everyone within the industry to be focused on that individual consumer, whether they're coming in through a marketplace type product through healthcare.gov or through a product that is being offered by their employer. We need to be focused on that consumer's experience. How easy is it to get their identification cards out? What's their care experience look like once they reach into an integrated delivery system such as Avera or Sanford? How do we make sure that they have a premium retail experience from the beginning to the end?
Linda Ross, what would you like to say?
I totally agree with that, and I certainly, we see that because you know, people who have not had the opportunity or the experience of and the benefit of having health care insurance for whatever reason now are seeing that they have choices. They're getting something that they didn't have before. And as that continues to grow, their ability and what their expectation is from whether it be a healthcare provider, an insurance company, or whatever the case may be, will also grow because their expectations are going to grow. So, you know, from a community health center standpoint, we recognize that from patient care and what we offer and how we deal with people that there is a choice out there. And so certainly from an insurance standpoint, I totally agree with Deb, and that's fascinating to hear that that's what people are looking at. All have to respond to that.
Yes, and we always talk about how we want to just get rid of paper in our industry. We want to abolish paper. We want to move everything into an electronic medium. And website capabilities are very important. But really, this next iteration, especially for the millennials that you were just talking about, they don't go to a website. They're on their smartphones. That's where they're getting their information. So you literally have to shrink down a lot of complex information down to something that can fit in the palm of your hand, and you can slide through it very quickly in 30 seconds or less. And there is a new plan that is being developed in the state of New York. It's called Oscar, and Oscar is the buzz everywhere. It's a private firm offering health insurance products. And its website is like no other website that I've ever seen. In fact, what they're talking about at the national level is that we'll see a revolution happen. And it's more likely not going to be brought by the industry itself. It's going to be brought in by somebody in a tech firm that's looked at healthcare and says, wow, we can make this better and do it over coffee at Starbucks some afternoon.
All right, let me throw a couple of things out because people are following this in the media. They're following it either in print, online, television, radio, with some questions and some headlines. And tell me your reaction, if you will, Linda and Deb, this morning on that. For 3 million Americans, affordable health care might not be, you would say? Is it affordable?
I think for many people it is, and I think everybody's personal situation is what determines that. What we have found in the community health center world is people have specific situations that require perhaps a little more in-depth analysis and assistance because they may be farmers and their income is sporadic and, you know, how do they really account for that? So I do believe that personally, it's really hard to say that, but I think that lots of people are getting, care and health care insurance that didn't have it before. And I think it, from what I hear, it is affordable to them.
I want to go to my example that I played with last night of these two college kids, or one's working and one's in college still. They're paying $85 a month for health insurance. They make $24,000 annually. Is that affordable? I stared at my piece of paper last night and said, I'm not sure. When everything is said and done, $85 a month, is that affordable for somebody who makes $24,000 a year, two people? I think the affordability question, we took one big step toward tackling the issue of affordability by creating a universal pool, if you would, of risk through the Affordable Care Act. But everyone needs to be in that pool, and there's questions as to whether or not once you get universal access, meaning everybody's covered, how do you address the real gorilla in the room, the 800-pound gorilla, which is the cost of health care, which translates into the affordability question.
When we come back, we'll pose some other questions to our experts, all a part of the Affordable Care Show on It's Your Business. Affordable health care, the topic this morning. Deb Muller of Vera Health Plan in the studio. Linda Ross, Community Health Care Association of the Dakotas, in the office, training a new person today. Lisa Carlson was due to be with us, but imagine people getting busy through this whole thing, Deb.
Yes, very busy.
All right, we're going to ask some specific questions. Linda, are you still on with us?
I am.
All right, the question is, I have a low income, what do I need to know? What would you tell them, Linda?
They have a low income. Well, they have options, and they have the ability to get care and certainly to get insurance, and they need to understand what their situation is and be prepared to talk with someone if they can't figure it out themselves to figure out what they can get. So, you know what you have to know about your personal situation to be able to move forward and make those changes, but certainly there is the opportunity for subsidies and premium assistance, so they should go talk with somebody or go to the marketplace and go through the process so that they can see what is available to them.
So we can get through the topic here and the demographics. This one for you, Deb. I'm insured. What do I need to know?
If you're insured right now, you really need to do nothing. Your insurance continues on through your employer. If you're an individual policy holder on a transitional policy, that transitional policy is going to take you through most likely the end of 2014. And stay tuned. There may be further relief for transitional relief going forward, as I understand is being discussed in Washington. So if you're insured, the only time when I'd say you should look or shop is if you're in the individual marketplace right now, you've got a high premium, you may qualify for a subsidy or a tax credit, go out to healthcare.gov and give it a test drive, see if you can get a break, help you pay a few other bills in your household.
Linda, I'm not insured. What do I need to know?
That you can get insurance. More than likely, depending on your situation. And again, know what your situation is and know that there are resources out there to help you. But you can get insurance. You don't need to not have that coverage or have that feeling of angst, what might happen, because you can get a catastrophic plan if money is an issue to cover you for a major event or whatever might fit your situation.
I'm retired. What do I need to know?
Again, those that are over the age of 65 really weren't impacted by this piece of legislation in the Affordable Care Act. There's some positive things that came out of it in terms of prescription drugs, but your Medicare is safe and secure, and you can continue to access your traditional Medicare policies and Medicare supplement policies as you have normally.
Linda, March 31st, what does a deadline date mean?
That is your time for open enrollment, and it means you need to get moving. So go out to healthcare.gov or go find an in-person assister and find out the coverage that is best for you, because if you don't, you may be in jeopardy for receiving a penalty next year. And we don't want people to do that if they don't have to.
All right. You had mentioned earlier, Linda, that you have some community meetings. Kind of share with us where they are, website they can go to keep up to date as to where they are and who they can come see.
Well, they can certainly go to our website, which is www.communityhealthcare.net. And on the left-hand side, there is a calendar. It's a rolling calendar. Scroll through it, and you can see where all of the events are happening throughout the state, because we post it for all the community health centers there. For Sioux Falls, Falls Community Health Care System is a place where you can go, where they have in-person assisters there. Many days they are out in the open area, so you can just go up there and talk with somebody. If not, you can go, to the front desk and ask for some help, and they will assist you there.
Deb, with Avera, you have statewide open houses.
We do have statewide open houses, and we are putting those locations and times on our website. Those should be up and running next week. And we'll continue to update it as we get more and more folks interested in participating with us in the aging community and doing open houses all over South Dakota. And those are walk-in open houses, or you can call us and make an appointment. And that's at www.averahealthplans.com. And if you're just driving by, as I said, on 49th Street, we have 17 licensed individuals in-house that if you know your W-2 wages for 2013 and your social security number, stop on and we'll get you set up.
Deb Muller, Avera Health Plans, Linda Ross, Community Health Care Association of the Dakotas, and Abby Vanderwerf, Holt McDowell. We appreciate all of you being with us. We'll be Rev right now says our time's up. We thank you for yours.